is powerful, really life-changing. We're not going to bed the same as when we woke up. Amen? We're not coping. We're not here to learn how to cope. We're not here to learn how to take sides. We're here to take over. And as we're taking over the realms of the mind, and what I've got to share with you tonight, glory to God, is so powerful. Then we're ready for this awakening and the resurrecting of Georgetown to take place. Amen? Because it's not the fact that, well, one of these days, God. Now see, we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. He's been ready a long time ago. And it's our time. He's raising you up. And how many of you know the Bible says that God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? And so it doesn't matter how foolish you may seem to yourself, to your family, to other people around you. You may feel like you're the bottom ring on the ladder as far as the ladder to success in the world. But you apply what we're teaching today, and especially tonight, and the cream will rise to the top. And you will have wisdom and understanding and accessing the supernatural knowledge of God that the world cannot touch. And let me tell you something. They have run out of answers. And so all we have to do is apply ourselves to God's Word and the wisdom of God. And they're going to start running to us for the answers. Amen? Because this word created the worlds. In the beginning, God created, and He created it with His Word. So the Word is the only thing that's going to work in this creation. Amen? And let me just make a comment about Pastor Jack was sharing is so powerful. Landmines. And especially landmines that people don't even know about. We kind of touched on that a little bit when we talked about subsoiling this afternoon, remember? And I was talking about how you're going to have implement discipline for your soul. Your soul is your primary child. And none of this is going to work if you are a person that has made up your mind that you're not going to discipline yourself. You have to realize the more objective you can be concerning the soul realm, the easier all this is going to be. And tonight, you're going to get so objective about what is happening in your brain that you're not going to be afraid of your brain anymore. Because a lot of times people will not discipline their souls. They won't go there. You know, that's a closet we don't open. We just close the door. We don't go there. You know, why? Because of those landmines. So they're learning to cope in a marriage instead of exposing those things, getting rid of them with the Word of God and drawing closer to each other and closer to God. So the things he was talking about, the landmines, people will hide those things in the subconscious part of the brain. There are areas that are hidden in the subconscious part of the brain that are not accessible until they rise to the surface. And when they rise to the surface, then you don't push them back down again. You are, with the principles I'm going to give you tonight, and it's really 1, 2, 3, 4 step process here, you absolutely in 4 days can get rid of some landmines that have caused you problems for 30, 40, 60 years. and it is so awesome. Now as you apply the Word of God, and as you seek the Lord, and you press toward the mark, then these things in the subconscious will surface. And that's a good thing, because when they surface and you get rid of them in 4 days, then it opens up a whole realm of your mental abilities, of your intellect, that can be used by God and not blocked out by emotion-laden bad memories that have been submerged into the subconscious. The second thing I want to bring up before we get in the Word and get into some of these pictures and that sort of thing is, the wonderful thing about this is that only Christians can do this. Isn't that marvelous? Only Christians can do this. So if we apply ourselves to it and liberate our souls to be used by our covenant partner God, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that's working in this earth realm now, God, nothing be impossible for you. And you'll be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things for the right reasons, and there won't be any dash in your history anymore. Remember that? Jesus were to tarry and you go by the way of the grave, they've got a date for your birth and a date for your death. We're not going to have any dashes. We're going to have more than just a dash, right? Amen. But we are doing things, and I'm going to bring these things forth, and you're going to recognize, hey, the world cannot do this. And when they come to you and they say, how do you manage? How do you know this? You're just going to do like Jesus did with Nicodemus. You just say, hey, got to be born again. You have to be born again. There's no sense in trying to explain all of what I have here tonight to somebody that's not born again. They can pretend to try to do some of it, okay? But they really can't. I'm just telling you, they cannot do this. So we're just the body of Christ. You all in particular, because that's who's here tonight, are going to really escalate in promotion and increase and manifesting the inheritance that God has for you in your life. Are you excited about it? Amen. So go to Nahum. We're in the Minor Prophets, chapter 1. And let's start at verse 7. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. How about instead of having bad memory, landmines, strongholds, what if we have God's strongholds? Amen? But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. Verse 9. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Now, I know, maybe not you all, but you might know somebody that got healed of something. I mean, just through the gifts of the Spirit, or praying together, or laying on of hands, or whatever, they got healed. I mean, they were healed. A miracle from God healed. And then 2 or 3, 5 months down the road, here it is back again. And you're thinking, what's that all about? Or somebody, supernatural debt cancellation. Debt gone. God did it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, God got them debt-free. Oh, they stood on the word, they believed God, but something happened in their finances. I mean, turn that thing around, debt-free. And then a year later, they're back in debt again. Or, you know, their cousin or Uncle Sam in California, right, gets gloriously saved. I mean, he was digging a hole to hell with a backhoe and friends to help. Night and day, lights. He calls, and glory to God, he fell in a manhole, couldn't get out, finally looked up and cried out to God, and God delivered him. He is born again. And then you hear the report about 6 months later, he's back in the bars again. What's going on? You know, you're going, what's going on? What is all this? What's happening? This says that the Lord will make an utter end, and affliction will not rise up the second time. When God makes an utter end, affliction will not rise up again. The sickness will not rise up again. The debt won't rise up again. Uncle Sam will stay saved. Whatever it may be, that thing that is raising itself up against the knowledge of God, it will not rise up again. An utter end. The end. Totally gone. Right? Well, the key here is, in verse 9, it starts out and says, what do you imagine against the Lord? Now, in context, we can understand, well, it's probably talking about the enemy imagining things against God's people or against you. You know you do have an enemy, right? Hates you, is out to destroy you. He comes to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's plotting and imagining ways to trip you up. He spends a lot of time, especially on you, because you're on the move. You're not just playing church. You're serious about what you're doing. Amen? What do you imagine against the Lord? But I want to take this to another level, because he said the affliction will not rise up again. God will make an utter end. And so much of the body of Christ is sitting around waiting for God to do it. For God to, okay, God, you said you'd make an utter end. We're waiting on you to do that. Why don't you make an utter end? Well, how many of you know he did that in Jesus Christ? When Jesus went to the cross, he spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly. He became sin who knew no sin, that you might be the righteousness of God. By his stripes you were healed. He became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. He paid it all. He made an utter end. He made an utter end of the enemy. He made an utter end of sin. He made an utter end of sickness and disease and poverty and lack. He made an utter end. Glory to God, with an overflowing flood. He made another end. So why is there still sin? Why is there still sickness? Why are people, especially in the body of Christ, still battling these things? Still battling affliction, still battling debt, still battling lack, still battling sickness, still battling oppression, still battling family members not being saved and doing goofy things. Glory to God. What is it? What's the deal? If he already made an utter end, well, for one thing, it takes faith. But let me show you another thing. Exhibit number one. Exhibit A. Hallelujah. We'll get to that in just a moment. The point is, you've got in your brain some bad memory trees. Pastor Jack called them landmines. I want to show you some of these pictures. They're actually microscopic pictures that they took of brain structure. And the key is, let me give you some brain facts, okay? While they're getting this together. Are we getting it together? Okay, bad memory. Okay, I'm sorry about that. My bad memory. But I know how to get rid of it. 4 days, no problem. This is a picture of a bad memory in a brain. And it's a dark and structure that actually looks cloudy. Now, also, can you do trees? It's about the fifth one. Trees. I have one called trees. Okay, these are trees of the mind. Now, let me explain this a little bit. Now, no, you guys love diagrams and charts and all this kind of stuff because you're Pastor Jack's congregation. So you're not going to freak when I start giving you some names, right? In the brain, and let me make this comment, there's not one single person in here that doesn't have a very gifted brain. Every one of you are gifted. You have a gifted brain. If you don't feel like you've got a gifted brain, it's only because you've been lied to. And you can turn that around in 4 days by confessing what God says about your brain. Okay? These little things that look like trees are actually neurons. A neuron is a nerve cell in the brain. Okay? You have in your brain 100 billion neurons. Each neuron can branch, and you see all the little branches? Each neuron can branch up to 70,000 branches on each neuron. They're called dendrites. Now, watch this. 100 billion neurons. 70,000 branches on each neuron. Okay? Just the information that will take you through the 12th grade. A person that graduates from the 12th grade, now I'm not talking about learning how to drive or, you know, cook or, you know, brush your teeth or any of that kind of stuff. I'm talking about just the intellectual information necessary to graduate 12th grade. You can fit on 14 neurons. You have 100 billion to work with. Is that powerful? You have 100 billion neurons to work with. And if you graduate 12th grade, you've only used 14. Seven on one side of the brain, seven on the other side. Seven pairs or 14 neurons can hold all the information that you need to graduate from the 12th grade. And you have 100 billion. You don't tell me that you don't have a tremendous capacity of in your brain to be able to do great things in the realm of the intellect. Here's another fact. See, you've been lied to. Here's another fact. Intellect is not static. You can grow your intellect at will. You can learn. Oh, yeah. When I was talking about meditating and memorizing the scripture and disciplining the soul and all that kind of stuff this afternoon, there were some of you in there saying, well, I never have been able to memorize very well. I just don't memorize. I don't, that, you know, I just, I do, I meditate the scriptures, but, you know, I just don't do, I can't. That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil that you have accepted and made yours, and that's your, you've claimed that as your identity. 4 days, you can change that. And release the great capacity that you have for your mind and your intellect, because you need your brain to think. You need your brain to figure, to analyze, to understand. And the more you rejuvenate and renovate your brain with the Word of God, and meditating the Word, and memorizing it, and building these memory trees of the Word of God, it starts unlocking great reserves. You may not have ever thought of yourself as being good at math. But once you get a hold of what I'm going to release in here tonight, you'll find out you were lied to. You have 100 billion neurons to work with. Surely there'll be 2 or 3 of them that can do some math. But you understand, when you've been lied to and you accept that lie and you confess that, you have built a wall in your brain that closes down a great, a huge part of your brain that those neurons just lie dormant there. A person, most people will only use 2 to 3% of the total capacity of their brain. People that actually pursue learning all their lifetime learning, you know, always getting more information, and they're not afraid of computers or whatever is coming down the pike. They'll get in there and not just learn how to text or, you know, dial somebody on the cell phone. They'll want to learn how these things work, and, you know, they're just interested in all that. They'll be able to use up to maybe 6%. Someone that they call, for instance, a genius. There are certain people that seem to have these reserves of the mind seem to be more available, but I believe there's more that we can understand about that when we pray in tongues and find out God. The body of every person in the body of Christ ought to be able to do greater things than what the world calls a genius. They would, Einstein, for instance, is said to have used just 10%, 10 to 12% of the total capacity of the brain. 100 billion nerve cells with 70,000 branches. It would literally take you 3 million years to use up that much capacity. You, every person in, and that's not just a few of you, every person in here has a very gifted brain, and you must tear down strongholds that are against that and start activating. Do you know that your brain does not grow old? It just matures, and it goes into, if it's not used and not used properly according to the Word of God, it will go into what you call kind of a screensaver mode or default, whatever. And you'll just get this, you know, for instance, Pastor Jack starts talking about physics, and people maybe had a bad experience growing up about, you know, in physics class or math class or whatever. And it's just like their brain just goes into the screensaver. Bung, 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 bung. And they just turn it off, you know. Because they have determined and they've spoken it out. They just barely made it through math class. In physics, wow. That takes a real brainy person. You're, every one of you are brainy people. You have very gifted brains. But now, until you, why don't you say it with me? I have a very gifted, a very, very gifted, a very, very, very gifted brain. You know, you almost convinced me. It might take confessing that for, you know, 4 days. The Word of God says you have the mind of Christ. Amen. That ought to go some. I mean, there is absolutely no limits to what we can do with our brains if we will just get our confession about our brains. We talk about our little pea brains. Are we talking about fried brains? We talk about, you know, scrambled brains. We talk about blew my mind, and, you know, they say things, well, you know, there's five things you can tell when you're getting older. Number one is you can't remember like you used to, and I don't remember what the next four were. I mean, we tell jokes like that and laugh about it, ha, ha, ha. But what we're doing is we're building strongholds to cause our brains to go into a default mode. And we talk about our growing old. And see, the brain does not, people, the brain does not grow old. But if we confess old and we confess bad memory and we confess those things, then the body grows old in relation to the brain going into the screensaver mode. It's true. Now, you can grow intellect at will. These trees, you can grow. And you say, well, you know, I'm more of a creative, holistic type of person. You know, I just never have been very good at science and all that. And you see, we've always thought, well, the left side of the brain was the scientific, mathematical, you know, logical side, and the right side is the holistic, creative, you know, artistic side and all that. Do you know that is absolutely, there is no scientific evidence for that at all. Somebody made that up, it sounded good, and they went with it. And they taught it in school. And you said, well, they're teaching at school, must be true. Everything on the body is symmetrical. What happens in the brain is that the left side of the brain operates detail to big picture, the right side big picture to detail. You actually create in your brain mirror images of every memory. Everything you're memorizing, you, for instance, detail to big picture would be 2 + 2 = 4. 2 is a detail, right? 2 = the big picture, 4. Well, on the right side, you say, well, 4 is 2 groups of 2. And until you put all that together with the detail to big picture and big picture to detail, and until you get all a child or even anybody, praise God, puts all this together and gets the understanding of it, and the light goes off, oh, I see it. Well, what was so hard about that? It's just that it clicked, right? Something clicked. Then you've got the understanding. Then you know it. You've got it. Let me show you your brain. Put your two fists together like this. Okay? Put your two fists together like this. Got it? Okay. Now look at what you got there. That is the size of your brain. How about that? He does have a big, and you say, well, men have bigger brains than women do. Does that mean they're smarter? No, the women's is just more compact. It's in a smaller space. Okay, now watch. We're going to take half of this brain like this, and here is what the cortex. Now let me tell you about the names. Things they what scientists. Every discipline has a language. It makes them feel real smart. Say, this is the cortex, and this is the corpus callosum, and this is the deep limbic system. But no, you know what cortex means? It means bark. I mean, they take these Greek and Latin names, and they stick them on structures in the brain to make it sound like it's all that, you know? If there's a little structure in this deep limbic system down here where all the emotions are stored, and they call it the amygdala, or some call it amygdala, and say, oh, that's a scientific name. You know what it means? It's a Greek word that means almond. And they named it amygdala because it was almond-shaped. Duh. Oh, real intellectual. Ooh, I don't know if I can handle that or not. Yes, almond-shaped. We'll call it amygdala. And only Greek people will know what you're saying. So you can act real smart around somebody that doesn't know Greek. Corpus callosum. Corpus is body. Callos, callosum. The body of callus, or the calloused body. How brilliant is that? It's in the middle of the brain, and it joins the two halves, the two cortices, or the two halves of the brain together. Memories are stored in the cortex. And in the joining part, that corpus callosum that looks like a calloused body in the middle of the brain, it's a name that doesn't really have any relationship to what it does or anything. It just looks like, oh, that looks like a callous body. Let's call it corpus callosum. See what I'm saying? You've got gifted brains. And all these people that want to intimidate you with their, you know, language, it's not all that. You can do better than that. Praise the Lord. And in that corpus, that's where the two parts of the brain join, and that's where the thinking and meditating goes on. To put the detail to big picture and the big picture to detail together where you can understand it. See, that's why God wants you meditating on the word, chewing the cud, and bringing it up again, and focusing, speaking it out. You know, when you meditate, biblical meditation is not just it's muttering. You mutter the word. You mutter the word. You mutter the word. Have you ever heard yourself on a tape recording of any kind? Or, you don't call them tapes anymore. You do CDs or whatever. Have you ever heard yourself on a voicemail or anything like that? And you say, is that my voice? You know, first time you hear it, it really sounds weird to you. Why? Because you don't hear yourself generally with your outer ears. You hear yourself with your inner ears. Your outer ears go directly into your brain, and you analyze and critique and see about, you know, how that compares with what you know and what you understand. See? My voice isn't going. It's going into this complex brain organism up here, and you're kind of analyzing and thinking about what I'm saying, and because you figure whether you're going to believe this or not. If you say it, you hear yourself with your inner ear, and what you say drops directly down into your heart. Check this out, folks. 100 billion nerve cells in the brain. You've got a 40,000 neuron brain in your heart. Is that cool? All this physical information I'm giving you is just an outward expression of a deeper spiritual reality. Your mind is in the brain, okay? When a person moves to heaven, their brain is in the grave with the rest of their body. They take their mind or their soul with them. Spirit and soul go together. How do we know that? We get in the Bible, we find out about Lazarus and the rich man, right? Rich man went to hell. Did he take his brain? No, but he took his mind. He could feel. He could think. He was figuring. Okay? But all these things of the mind have an outward expression in the brain. Check this out. Are y'all having fun with this? Brain facts. See how intelligent you are? You are tremendously intelligent. And as you renew your mind, and you see your mind... Oh, let's have that picture. Let's see. It's called the Matrix. The Matrix. The last one. Check this out, folks. Actually, it's supposed to be 100 billion, but that's okay. All right? We can put up with that. Right? Do you see all of what the nervous system, the brain, spinal cord, and all the peripheral nervous system touches every cell of the body? So that whatever's happening in the brain is going to have an effect on the physical body. If a person, where do you think stress comes from? It comes from Uncle Sam in California for not being saved and driving me crazy, and every time he calls, he just, no. Chemicals being released in the brain. Let me pinpoint this while we're here. We're just going to go down some bunny trails, and we're going to bring it all together to the end, okay? You stay with me. Everybody knows about flight or fight, right? Adrenaline, right? Ball teams run on adrenaline. When the game time comes and the crowd's roaring and this adrenaline is pumping in the body and they get excited and all this kind of stuff. Adrenaline, okay? The adrenaline is really, and the effects of that are really the first stage of stress. But that's a good stage. The problem is when all that adrenaline and all the effects of adrenaline, and not just adrenaline, there's other chemicals, but we're all familiar with adrenaline, so I can just label it one big adrenaline mass of chemicals being released in the body that prepare the body for a sudden surge of energy to protect or to do something immediately. Okay, when those chemicals are released like that, blood vessels to the organs constrict because the body wants to take all the blood and put it to the muscles so the muscles can act and react quickly. Cortisol, which is like a cortisone type of compound, is released, you know, and blood sugar goes up. And all these effects, these things are happening in the body, okay, which is good for a short term. So stage one stress is good for a short term. It actually, when you come in here, like, you know, Pastor Jack's been pumping. Now tonight, it's going to be good. Tonight, you come in here. Tonight. And what did you do? You came in here excited, right? Well, pretty much. But when you're excited about learning something, something that's just going to change your life, I mean, something that's going to make, glory to God, I'm going to get mine in here. I'm getting mine tonight. I mean, the excitement of learning about what God has for us, and that's the first stage of stress. You enter in, your body starts secreting these hormones that cause you to be attentive and joyful. And a lot of these chemicals, they awaken parts of the brain ready to receive in the brain, right? Amen. Come on, count me out. But now, if this adrenaline release is happening more and more and more, and it's a constant release of adrenaline and cortisol, constricting blood vessels to the organs, putting more blood, causing more sugar to be released, which is causes the, on the long term, the pancreas releases more insulin because it's too much sugar for the blood for on the long haul, and blood sugar drops again, and your systems are going like this, and it just keeps on going for a longer and longer, and you're in more and more stress, more and more stress, more and more. Now that's bad for you. Okay? And the bad memory trees that I'm going to show you actually keep you in a very low stage of stage two of stress. Now, what stage two of stress will do it will actually eat away at certain of your cells to make you more susceptible to sickness and disease. Your cells are protected from anything foreign. Every cell in your body only has receptor sites on it that will only receive what's good for that cell and what that cell needs to function properly. But too much cortisol, adrenaline, all these stress hormones are released. What happens? It eats away those receptor sites so that whatever floats along in the bloodstream just drops right into that cell, whether it be virus, cancer, what have you. So a person that doesn't know how to control and overcome stress in their life makes them real susceptible to sickness, disease, cancer. You know what? Cancer is developed. It's not something that just springs up overnight. For a cancer to start in a person's body, it takes it 8 to 10 years to go from one cell to the number of cells big enough to be detected by any kind of, you know, medical examination. So that thing, there's some kind of stress that's been going on for 8, 10 years or more. See? And they come from these landmines Pastor Jack was talking about, and what I'm going to show you about these strongholds. Are you mad yet? Are you happy and mad together? Because, see, you've been lied to. You've been deceived. You've been, the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I'm telling you, in 4 days, we can turn this thing around totally. To where vast areas of your mind. Okay, so when you've been told, and you've been taught in school, well, some people are, you know, are left-brained, and they're good at math, and they're good at science, and all this kind of stuff. Some people are right-brained, and so you just, you know, maybe you were a little slow in learning how to read, but you were good at calculating and figures. So you labeled yourself a left-brained person. You've got huge reserves in your brain that are locked down and you can't use because of a bad confession. You know, my younger son, he ended up really, I think, drawn into engineering because of Pastor Jack's influence in his life, and ended up graduating from one of the best undergraduate engineering schools in the country. But you know what? He didn't learn to read till he was 8 years old. And if he had, and at that time we were homeschooling, you know, our focus was mastery of understanding the subjects and not just passing to another grade. Although we, you know, basically had grades, but that's not where the focus was. So it didn't bother me that he wasn't reading at 5, 6, 7 years old, because I knew he was going to get it. It's not a big deal. Possibly, if he had been in a public school system, he might have been labeled learning disabled or some such thing. You know, he was always very systematic in everything he did. Everything he did, he'd get a perfect score on it. He just wouldn't always finish the test in the time allotted. And so he wouldn't pass the test because he didn't rush through it. He just did everything in a very systematic, methodical way. That's just, and he wasn't really concerned about time. And so he wouldn't flunk it because he didn't know the material. He would flunk it because he just didn't get to those questions yet. Okay? Well, if he had been labeled all that and he started thinking that's who he was, and I'm just a dumb kid and I hadn't been given a very gifted brain, and after all, I can't do this, can't do that, well, he'd just, you know, no telling what he would get into. A lot of our kids that have gotten into drugs and alcohol and all those kind of perversions and all that, they're just trying to find who they are because they don't have very gifted brains. They just, you know, dumb, flunked out. That's because they were lied to. They were lied to. They were put in some kind of, you know, the socialistic educational system just wants bricks. We just want to make everybody a brick. And if you don't fit into our brick mold, then we're going to label you something and put you over in this group and make you a brick over here. And this is who you are. And we're going to medicate you to make sure you fit in this brick mold. Say, goofy. Say, I hate it. We're taking over. We got to take over, folks. People that don't know God don't know anything about educating folks. You don't fit in their brick system, then you get some kind of label. And, you know, all of that, it's all wrong. It's wrong. You're good at math. Those of you that have thought you were just good at math and not good at writing in English, you're good at English writing, and, you know, your brain is not just your this side or that side. Totally illogical and unscientific. A lie. It's a lie. But you've got those strongholds in your brain that you've got to break down so that you can use the gifted brain that God has created for you to use for His kingdom. See, the world system just wants to put you in this mold, and everybody works for the common good, and there are a few people at the top that make all the money and live well, but we're just the common people, and we're the folks that, you know, the machine. We just want to be a part of the machine, and so everybody can have their, you know, little acre of land or this little apartment, or, you know, you just have everybody's on the same health care program, and everybody gets the same, and everybody, we got to be fair. And talk about stress. But this information, the people that are in the world and they don't know God, they cannot do what we can do. Now, you take that information right now and you release yourself to be able to use your brain properly. You have a very gifted brain. And get mad about it, mad enough to start confessing what God says about your brain. And you know what? When these reserves start opening up, this revelation will renew your youth like the eagles. Because every cell of your body is connected to your brain. And the only reason bodies get old is because of wrong thinking. When we start thinking right, then bodies start getting renewed. Because the brain does not grow old. It only matures. I'm telling you, this is information that we can do something with. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. 3 million years it would take you to use up all the capacity that's in your brain. You just haven't been taught according to the Word of God, because God's the only one. God created your brain. He's the only one that can tell you how to use that brain. The world cannot tell you how to use your brain. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They're absolutely ignorant until they get born again and start applying their mind to what God says. So don't listen to them. They're going to be listening to you as soon as you get a hold of this stuff and stop being intimidated by the world. We're taking over, folks. I'm starting to get mad. Hope you all are. The healthier your confession over your mind, the healthier your body will be. Why? For that very reason right there. You've been, oh, by his stripes I was healed. He bore my griefs. He bore my sickness and carried my diseases. I'm redeemed from the curse. Glory to God. I thank you for it. I thank you for healing me. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. But it's just this old brain of mine never has worked very well. It just scrambled. I tell you what, it's just... Blonde jokes are totally unbiblical. Say amen. If we would get a better confession over our brain, we wouldn't have to be confessing over our bodies so much. Because Jesus went about healing all that were what? Oppressed by the devil. Where was the pressure? In the brain. The devil tries to stress people out. It is proven that more than 80%, up to 87, I've heard some 90% of all sickness and disease, that includes everything from flu to cancer to what, diabetes, all of that, is caused by stress. Not stage one stress, but just when all of those chemicals continue to be released, continue, and the person's in this constant state of fight or flight, constant state of trying to make ends meet, constant state of, what am I going to do now? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Trying to line up, well, you can't do this. Oh, I never could figure this. Oh, I'm not this kind of... But if we'll get our focus of our faith turned on confessing good things about our brains and our thought processes and our intellect, you know what? Our bodies will start to line up. And we'll get out of that stress cycle. And we'll start dealing with these landmines Pastor Jack is talking about. And get over it. You know, it's one thing to say, well, you've been dealing with that for 20 years. Why don't you just get over that? Just get over it. And you're going, I've been trying to. I've forgiven him. I keep forgiving him. I keep repenting over not forgiving him, even though I've forgiven him. And what's going on? Let's go back to that bad memory, the first one we looked at. We've got this bad memory stronghold. And this person, say somebody did something bad to you, talked bad about you, it hurt. You got your feelings hurt, right? And memory, and it just, that same thing just seems to be happening over and over again. Okay. Memories are built with chemicals in the brain. Now watch this. Are you still with me? We're doing okay? Cortex of the brain, where memories are stored, right? Corpus callosum, where the thinking goes on. Meditation, two sides of the brain join. You get, see how smart you are? You just following me? Yeah, I can get this. Down here in the deep part of the brain, where the almond's at, there's also the thalamus and the hypothalamus. And, you know, all those things just mean like chamber and hypo underneath chamber. Thalamus means chamber. Well, that's where all the chemicals are stored that glue. See, you got to have something to fix these memories and start growing the memories on the neurons, okay? And it takes this glue stuff, these chemicals in that deep limbic system, when a thought comes in and the memory is being built, goes to glue these memories on the neurons. Just simplistic language, but, you know, that's all we need to know. Well, it just so happens that this glue are laden with emotion. Emotions are just chemicals that your body makes. Oh, I know, you know, love, joy, peace, these things, but that's the fruit of the Spirit. But see, they will have expression. They will produce chemicals that you can actually feel. Okay? So in this hurt produces bad memory because you think about it and you create that image through thinking, and you got to go tell somebody about what they did to you, and I can't believe it. They were my best friend. Step in that. Said this about me. And you know what? I just didn't understand what I was saying. I was trying to say something nice, and they just took it wrong. And now we've been going around telling everybody I said this, and I didn't even say that. And it deserves. Then I'm going to forgive him. But I forgive him. I've forgiven him. Oh, God. I don't feel like I've forgiven him. Maybe I didn't really forgive him. Maybe I didn't just really go to the altar and just, I'll pour out my heart. And really, really, really forgive him. Maybe that's it. I'm in sin. Punished boys. Say, Goofy, what's the problem here? Forgiveness is a decision. You make a decision to forgive, a quality decision, forgive. That means you don't talk about it. You don't you don't wish any evil on them, right? I mean, it's, you know, walk in love and all this. But look, you still got the memory. And watch, that memory was built with chemicals that feel. So that every time you see that person, or the devil brings the thought up about what happens, or the picture again, it stimulates that bad memory. And let's go to the squirts. You have us the squirts? That happens. A bad memory really looks like a thorn tree, microscopically. And on those little thorns is where those chemicals that are emotion-laden are resting right there. And when a thought comes along, the same thought, thought of the memory, or somebody says something, something activates that thing. What is it? It squirts the chemicals or feelings that you had when the incident occurred. And you basically are reliving that same incident through that bad memory stronghold. But in 4 days, that memory can be healed to where you still may remember it, but you have no more emotional response to it. And this is the part that I love, because only faith people can do it. You can apply your faith to the bad memory stronghold and watch the emotions chemicals. Do you have that? Emotions? Slide. You can apply your faith to these strongholds. And remember, your emotions are just telling you where the enemy's position is, because Jesus came to destroy all the what works of the devil in those strongholds that are emotion-laden, full of grief and fear and all that, confusion, frustration, anger, have been built there by the devil. Because he wants to control you. He wants to control your mind, because if he can control your mind, he can control your will and your body, what you will do in this earth realm, and keep the righteousness of God, who you are, quenched and bound up. Can't have expression. The emotions. Do you have the emotions slide? Is the one that has a list of joy, peace on one side and grief, anger? Nope. It'll be back in the first six. That's kind of like it. Now, there it is. Okay. The bad memory. Can everybody see that? Am I in the way? Do we need to move? The bad memory stronghold will have these anger, unforgiveness, rejection, hatred, bitterness, anxious, all of those chemicals will be attached to that. Okay? What does faith do? Faith releases chemicals also. You know, by the words of your mouth, you can release chemicals in your brain that you can feel. Is that powerful? By the words of your mouth, you can stimulate the deep limbic system and the parts of your brain to release chemicals that you can feel. Is that hilarious? Isn't this wonderful that the Creator, the one we're connected to, is the one that created all this, and so we can know things that the people in the world cannot touch? How are we not going to take over? Huh? Okay. When you use your faith. All right, let's go to some scripture. Oh, praise the Lord. You all are so much fun to minister to. It's because you're so intelligent. You have such gifted brains. Let's go to two places, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just a few more scriptures and things that I want to bring out to you to set you on your course of great and mighty things in your life. Romans chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. Oh, we're getting in the Bible. I was wondering which you were going to get in the Bible. I don't know whether I'm doing this or not. Get what I'm giving you. Write it down. And start confessing it. See, you will not believe what I'm saying until you start confessing it. And you meditate it and confess it. Because when you speak, your words don't go through all this analytical process. It drops right down into your heart. Isn't that beautiful? That's why your voice, when you first hear it on a recording, sounds so strange. Because you will hear yourself with your inner ears. And what you say goes right down on the inside of you. Amen? Now, let's look at Romans chapter 6. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him, Jesus, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How? By the glory of the Father. In newness of life. Old is past, new is come. Out with the old, in with the new. Right? Let's go on down to verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, verse 11, equal to, just like that, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. A bad memory. Okay? Now watch this. You have power to forgive beyond just your own strength. Did Jesus take that sin on the cross for them? Huh? Has he forgiven them? Are they forgiven? As far as heaven is concerned, they're forgiven. Okay? You forgive in Jesus' name. Beyond your strength. World can't do that. They've not experienced the forgiveness of Jesus. That's why he says, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven won't forgive you, your trespasses. Well, what's that about? Like God's holding back, you know, forgiveness? No. Your action of faith for having been forgiven is to forgive. If you hold back forgiveness from somebody, then you don't really believe you've been forgiven. You see that? You understand how that works? Okay. So you're empowered by the blood of Jesus to forgive. See? It's not about you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you still got a memory that's active and squirting these chemicals every time a thought comes to you, or every time you see that person, or every time the devil wants to really, you know, get you off, distracted, and smoke screen, you know, all he has to do is bring that thought again, and here you go. Headache, you know, pain, stress. Amen, come on. But you know what? When you say, no, that's not me, I'm dead to that. No. What does it say? Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin, dead to bad memory strongholds. You're dead to it. Huh? Jesus, you are crucified in Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, you live. Yet not you, but Christ lives in you. In the life that you now live, you live by what? The faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2:20, correct? So here comes this thought, and here's the squirts. Some of you have been dealing with squirts for 20 years. And what are you doing? You're pushing them down in the subconscious. You're closing the closet door on these things. We don't go there. You move to another city. Oh, I feel drawn to this church over here. Problem is, you took the strongholds with you. See? Took the squirts with you. That's what Dad said. You know? People, I've just got to get away. The problem is, they're getting away with this problems that, you know, they're taking it with them. Right? But God says, deactivate those. How do you do it? By faith. No, that's not me. I'm dead to that. But see, what I want you to do is get a picture of that. Bad memory. We can go back to the bad memory thing now. Get a picture of that bad memory in your mind and say no. And you put your finger on it. There it is right there in the cortex of your brain, right? There it is. And I'm attacking that thing. And I'm saying, no, that's not me. I'm dead to that. No, that's forgiven. I mean, you may have tears flowing down your face, but you are speaking words against it. Now, when you speak words of faith against it, you're releasing chemicals out of this deep limbic system that are joy, faith, forgiveness, and check it out, folks, those faith chemicals are more powerful than the grief, lack, loss, fear chemicals that created that bad memory stronghold. God created the faith chemicals to be stronger than the other chemicals, whatever we named them. Fear chemicals, that's what it is. Those are all fear-based chemicals. Unforgiveness, anger, grief, all those chemicals are based on the spirit of fear. And they're fear-based chemicals. But the faith-based chemicals released out of your brain by your words are stronger than the fear-based chemicals and will erode those thorns on those trees. Anybody feel like running glory to God, shouting hallelujah, glory to God, got mine, no more, I got that one, been bothering me for 20 years, but in 4 days, you're going, you hear me? Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Faith-based chemicals. God has created faith-based chemicals released by your words of faith. I don't feel like anything. Something's happening. Just believe the book. And believe me, because I'm telling you what the word says. Because faith works. And this is why. This is how God has created it to work. It's when you're speaking faith. No, that's not me. I'm dead to that. No, that's forgiven and released. I have forgiven. I've forgiven. I'm forgiven. Nope. I'm forgiven. Praise God. You know, released. Hallelujah. No, I'm free. Glory to God. And as you're speaking that word, those faith-based chemicals are being released. I mean, you know, you may have been working on that tree for a while. It's got lots of branches, lots of thorns, every which way. And unforgiveness, you know what it does? It just kind of grows like crabgrass. It gets all wound up all around the brain. But as you're speaking that word, I've got my finger on that one. That one's going. Glory to God. Come on, devil. I'm after you now. You've got no place in my brain. Ha, ha, ha. You already forgiven. Why not get rid of the emotional response to the bad memory? Because you cannot, now listen to me, you cannot build a good memory over a bad. You have to get rid of the bad memory first before you can build a good memory. What relationship does that have? Well, you're confessing, you know, healing over your body, and you've got this, you've already forgiven, but you still got an active bad memory about something that happened, and you're trying to get healed of cancer, and this thing's been going on for 10, you know, years, and you hadn't been able to deal, you haven't known what I'm teaching you tonight. And you may, you know, in prayer or with your faith, get rid of that cancer. You can do that. But what about affliction not rising up the second time? What do you imagine against the Lord? You still got active bad memories there, but see, the great thing about it is, folks, the faith-based chemicals will erode. And if you really focus on that thing and you're determined, with all of your focus, I mean, Pastor Jack talked about fasting. Wonderful. Fast, because the voice of the flesh, and it humbles your soul where you can just set your course on this thing. No, I'm going after this thing. Folks, you know, time's going to pass anyway. You might as well use it effectively for the kingdom and get rid of these things. With your faith, no, that's not me. No, that's nope, that's forgiven. Go to 2 Corinthians. Do you see what is happening with your faith that actually has physical manifestation in your brain? Is this wonderful? Are you ready for another 120 years? I mean, you know, he said he would restore. Did God not say he would restore? We found out this afternoon that there was revelation and meditation, right? And application, manifestation, and the very end, restoration. Do you know God has a soul restoration anointing that will come in? I believe that we're entering into a time as we apply ourselves to understanding like this. God's just going to just flood this place with a restoration anointing, and just like miracles in the physical body that compresses time, there's going to be miracles in the soul that's compressing time in bad memory strongholds, and it's going to whoosh. And you're saying, oh yeah, that, do that. I'll just wait on that. No, I said once we are applying ourselves. Amen? Praise the Lord. These faith chemicals, 2 Corinthians, that's right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, are we there? All right, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Flesh creatures, people that are of the flesh, they cannot do what I'm teaching you tonight. Didn't that just make you want to flap or something? I mean, you know, I don't know. Just... We do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, forgiveness, mighty through God, crucified in Christ Jesus, mighty through God, nope, that's not me, nope, I take that thought captive, I cast that down, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, imagine, I cast that down, see, you got to practice in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What do you imagine against the Lord? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, making that thought bow its knee to the Anointed One and His anointing. Folks, you can't wait till one of these strongholds or landmines pops up. And then start practicing on it. Although that's good. You got to do things like, I cast that down, I cast that down, I cast that down, I cast that down. Get to where that is in the front of your thinking. You practice saying those things ahead of time. You memorize these few verses here. In 2 Corinthians and Romans chapter 6 and Galatians 2:20, those things that I mentioned, you memorize those things and meditate that to where those are active memory trees in your brain and in the forefront of your thinking, where I cast that down, I take that thought captive, I take that thought captive, no, that's not me, I've forgiven and released, forgiven, and you practice saying those things to where you've got some soul power already built up, and when things become a habit, you'll start doing those things without even thinking about it. It'll just be in your heart to do that. Now watch this. Ha ha ha, devil. Ha ha ha, world. Ha 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 ha. Watch this. This is great. You've got a little heart brain in your heart that is the seat of moral consciousness, okay? And it's a checking station. I mean, these things are pleasant, folks. You quiet your brain and you listen to your heart. And you make a conscious decision not to go with, make a choice and decision. Confusion, but you're going to listen to your heart. As soon as you make that decision, there's a connection between the brain, and the heart brain, that when you do that, the brain that's in the heart releases a hormone that causes you to feel peace in your body. Is that cool? That absolutely counters chemicals being stress chemicals being released in your body. I'm gonna give you one more, because this is so much fun, because it's so Christian. You know what I mean? It's just Christian. It's us. All the effects of stress, that what it does is, this is so much fun. In your brain system, do you know that you've got what they call the, in the peripheral nerves, you know, just in the body, not the brain and spinal cord, but all those peripheral nerves. You've got two kinds. You've got a somatic nervous system that controls the muscles, you know, soma. I mean, these names really are not all that, okay? So you guys are much more intelligent than any of these people that made up these names, because you're Christian. You've got the mind of Christ. Those control the nerves that go to conscious movement, where you're telling your arms to do these things, to get up, you know, and move, and all right. But you don't have to tell your brain, your heart to beat, or your lungs to breathe, or your digestive tract. You don't have to say, okay, now digest that food I just put in my body. You know, that's the autonomic nervous system that takes care of those things automatically. Okay? Well, in that system, the stress will cause the sympathetic and parasympathetic systems in that autonomic system. The parasympathetic is the relaxation, peace, rest, let's digest this food kind of thing. The sympathetic is the fight or flight that constricts all those vessels and gets ready to fight or flight. Right? Emergency here. Okay? Alright, the fight or flight emergency sympathetic system constricts everything, and if a person stays in that state very long, then they go into stage 2 and stage 3 of stress, and all that's bad. Right? Watch. Yes. When you start expressing and walking with an attitude of gratitude, just wake up in the morning, just thankful that God is God. You know? Thankful that I'm not God. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Thank you that you're not God. Might be some crispy critters around it, you know? Especially drivers that... Anyway. When you just start thanking God, it releases the parasympathetic system that counters stress and puts your body in a rest mode and opens up the vessels in your digestive tract and reduces the cortisol level that causes all the problems with sickness and disease and all this. I mean, when you just start saying, thank you, Jesus. My husband experienced this one time. He was walking to the bank to make a deposit, and he had like a, I don't know if it was a hip or a back, something. It was really paining him, okay? A lot of pain. Let me tell you something. Chronic pain is very stressful, all right? It was causing him a lot of pain every step, and it just seemed like it was there, 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 there. And he was speaking in it, no, by his stripes I was healed. No, I take authority over that pain. Get out of my body. And all that's good. But you know what? It just suddenly, down inside, he started saying, you know, my shoulder feels really great. Thank you, Jesus. My shoulder feels great. Yeah, look at that. My hand. Oh, look at there. My hand feels great. Look at that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. My hand feels great. Oh, my arms are feeling great. Thank you. And he just got to thanking God for every part of his body. You know, my hair doesn't hurt. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And just got into thanking God. And you know what happened? The pain left. The pain left. Just start thanking God. If you got any kind of pain trying to attack your body, start at your hair, at the top of your head, and go to your little toe and start thanking God for the stars and the birds that's singing in the morning and for, you know, I mean, just start thanking and thanking and thanking. And you know what? That pain will go because your systems will be lined up. The stress will be quenched. Everything will open up. Your body will go into rest mode. Hallelujah! And no devil can hang around where the peace of God is. Are you hearing this? Be thankful. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Jack.